Well, I'd like to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issues Call on Thursday, the 29th of March, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. As a reminder to all participants, if you would please state your name before speaking for recording purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the meeting back over to Michael Fleming.
Thank you very much, Terry. This is today I'll be acting. My name will be Bruce Wayne today, but we are happy to have this meeting this week. I apologize if I seem a little graspy, but this week we'll be looking at the global public interest. And this will be our last call for probably a little while, I think, before we readjust ourselves to see where we need to fill in some holes in policy work with Work Track 2. This time is we're doing this in WebEx, so I imagine it will be somewhat difficult for many of you, knowing that it's not when we're used to, while the Adobe Connect is taking vacation during these few weeks to solve some issues. But if anyone needs to send a chat, make sure that your send to is set on all participants. So you click that and you go down to the very bottom, and that will send it to everyone in the room, so we'll be able to have nice, friendly chatter as well. Chatter. This week we'll be looking at the global public interest, and we will be not reviewing this as a whole, but we'll be looking at possible recommendations. Now, this document is one that we had put together before the ICANN meeting in Puerto Rico, but it's not one we were able to cover. So we are going to cover the last portion of it. As for many of you that were with us in a few weeks, within several weeks before Puerto Rico, you'll know that we put together several documents that served as kind of the progress report or the baseline for the initial report that summarized the issues and the deliberations that we have had up until now for all of our topics, this being the one for the global public interest. It looks somewhat different than what we've seen so far because we have pulled this out of what is now currently a work in progress for the initial report. All the same, I'd like to look at this not in its entirety, but look at the possible recommendations, which you cannot see on this page. So I'm going to ask for staff to move to the very last page, which I'm hoping is there. Beautiful. We may need to move to previous pages, but I do note that with this WebEx, one of the nice perks about this is versus the Adobe is that it's much better to, it's much easier to view and zoom in the document and read it with our eyes. Now, for those of you on your phones, you may want to use the link that I'm sure staff will be kind enough to put in the chat message, the chat box here, for you to access on your phone so you can follow along with us. Oh, that's right. It's on a Google Drive, and it's on my Google Drive. Hold on just one moment. I always should make sure to put this in here. Now that I think about it. Here, I think everyone should have access to that. If not, please do let me know, and I'll make sure we'll make sure to set you up with some access before then. So this itself is, right now, it has been edited and suggestions made from different parties, many of whom appear to be anonymous, but I believe, may be the identity of Jeff Newman, perhaps using a different computer or not. I'm not sure. But the goal is today is to review these to see if we can move forward and use these as recommendations or to how we may need to change some of the content. I can offer tips or offer a little bit of background information about how these were put together. I was the author of these mainly to generate commentary, to generate feedback, rather than to decide everything. I put these together to generate more feedback. This is kind of a taking of the temperature in the room at the time from what the direction the deliberations have been heading in. But all the same, if we don't have anything down, we're not going to be able to get much feedback. So I took the liberty to put these together. So please don't think these are the final approach to anything, because it's not. That is what today is for. So does anyone have any questions about what we're going to be doing today? Is this fully understood with everyone? I just want to make sure I'm not talking to myself. Can anyone just give me a nice reply?
We can hear you even though it's croaky.
I'm sorry. All right. I said things. It sounds like we are... It sounds like everyone is somewhere on the same page, so let's go ahead and get started. So originally we didn't have any recommendations. It says here that the work track is not ready to converge in recommendations. It should develop a series of options for potential recommendations to include in the initial report. Hence what we've done, or hence what I've done, and several other authors have been kind enough to provide suggestions. So, possible recommendations, mandatory picks. The work track is considering a recommendation to grandfather the current picks. We will include a citation as to which ones are mandatory. In addition, such mandatory picks should be revisited to reflect the ongoing discussions between the GAC Public Safety Working Group and registries as appropriate. Does anyone have any questions, or can anyone agree with that, disagree with it? I have no idea how you raise your hand in this thing, so I'm just going to open the mic and let anyone start talking. No disagreement. We can put this as our recommendation. Gotta be a way where people raise their hand in this thing. Oh, this one view, the staff, do you know how one views the all the attendees and whether or not their hands are raised? Can I see that on the view all attendees?
Michael Sherrill here. As far as I can ascertain, and my joy with WebEx is far from complete yet, I can assure you, if you look, open up the attendees list and you scroll down, you will see a hand raised next to anybody who has put their hand up.
That's what I figured. I haven't seen. Can somebody just raise their hands so we could test the waters? You don't have to speak.
Hey, Michael, it's Heather Forrest. Can I also give you a suggestion? I fumbled with exactly this yesterday in sharing a call, and what I suggested to participants was that they make a note in the chat to say my hand is up. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good idea.
that it's a little bit easier to flag, because otherwise, as I understand it, you as the host have to sort of switch back and forth between the chat window and the participants window, because they both won't really show at the same time. So, sorry, long-winded explanation, but I found that to be very helpful.
All right, sounds like a good idea. Is there a way to expand this chat? I don't think so. Is there? Okay, this is going to be fun. Okay. So, does anyone want to comment on this mandatory picks? Please put that in the chat. Okay. Karen, you have, looks like you have, is that a hand up to speak? They can open the participants, but you still, yeah. Wow. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. That wasn't a hand to speak. That was just a hand to show you what a hand looks like.
Thank you. Not a problem.
It's Alan. My hand is really up.
Okay. Alan.
Yes, just to make sure. I haven't been able, I haven't been physically at my machine for the whole beginning of the call. We're talking about the first paragraph right now, mandatory picks. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I guess my answer is, why would we not grandfather the mandatory picks? Because the mandatory picks were there for, among other things, addressing some GAC issues, and those are not likely to go away. So why are we considering undoing it and having to restage the GAC board? Whatever discussion on that issue, I'm not quite sure why we would not consider doing this unless we really believe the outcome will be different the second time.
Thank you for the feedback, Alan. So I can say that currently the policy doesn't reflect anything having to do with the picks. So this would probably just be bringing that up to speed to making sure that what has come out of the recommendations of the GAC and the GAC advice is reflected in policy as well as it is now in the contract.
Yeah, I mean, to make it clear, we may want to say in this recommendation, what the mandatory picks were or why they were there, because not everyone has memorized all of this. But my recollection is most of them were there because of GAC issues.
Yes. Should we... Does anyone agree that we should look at, I think, the previous page? Let me check the Google Doc to see if we're on the same page. Here, so if we look at the Google Doc, I think we can see which ones are specific mandatory picks. So, if we go up back, one page, we can view that. Oh, Wunderbar, okay. So the specific mandatory picks are specification 11.3.A, one work track. And it doesn't even tell us what those are. Okay, great. If anyone has a contract open, that'd be really nice. So this does give us the relevant sections as to what they are. Some of them are the abuse monitoring. Some of them are, I believe there was a section here told that broke them down. So there isn't, okay. These are the relevant sections of in the registry agreement. I don't think we're going to go and list them off right now, but noting that we've been talking about this up until now, we haven't really seen any disagreement either into grandfathering these. So I think this is a reasonable recommendation to put forth. Let me check the chat, the attendees list and see if anyone's trying to raise their hand.
Yeah, it's Alan. I just think changing the text to say this, assuming it's correct, and I believe it is, but we need to verify that the mandatory picks were inserted to address GAC concerns over, they classify TLDs in a variety of different senses, but essentially the ones that are subject to national regulations and things like that. So just one short sentence describing what was the rationale for having added them may make it a lot easier for people to understand without listing the details. But I think they were all added in relation to GAC concerns.
Yes, they were, I believe. Thank you, Alan. I think that is a very good suggestion. Can we flip to the to the last page, please? Thank you. So, does anyone else have any commentary in regards to the mandatory picks? Please put in a chat. I cannot tell if anyone has their hand raised or not. So, I don't see anyone putting in a chat. No hands. Okay. Thank you. So let's do voluntary picks. Let's look at the next little bullet point here. Voluntary picks. The work track recommends continuing the concept of voluntary public interest commitments and asking applicants to state any voluntary picks in its application. In addition, the working group supports the ability of applicants to commit to additional picks in response to public comments, GAC early warnings, and/or GAC advice, except under limited circumstances as set out in the applicant guidebook. Such picks may result in changing the nature of the application. So this was a big question we had in our previous discussions, is whether or not we could see the picks as a tool or as a means to change the application itself. Previously, changing the application was a big iffy in regards to the first round, but it seems that we had some kind of agreement that picks could be used to change the nature, change the content of the application once it was submitted. Response to public comments, response to community concerns and GAC concerns.
Yeah, my hand is up. It's Alan.
Oh, great. Alan, please, thank you.
Yeah, I don't see what sense it makes if we don't allow the pick to essentially change the application. Now, maybe it cannot change it from assuming we use classifications, maybe it cannot change it from being a closed generic or a brand or something like that, and maybe there are some restrictions like that. But if the pick is being offered, and presumably it would have to be a pick that cannot be withdrawn, and we may want to consider separately whether there's essentially with every pick a ticky box saying does the applicant reserve the right to change it later. But assuming a pick is being offered and is not going to be unilaterally withdrawn at some later time, then it does effectively become part of it. It has to become part of the application. Otherwise, there's no point for having done it, I would think.
I can agree with that. I mean, if we're going to let them pick and choose which picks they want to use, then that's definitely definitely going to change the application.
I think we do it. They do have to be clear in offering the pick whether it's something that they can unilaterally withdraw or not.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Note the nature of except under limited circumstances. It's kind of vague at this point. I think written purposely so. But besides perhaps changing type of application, going from a closed to an open TLD, does anyone, going from maybe a brand to a limited registry or something like that, can anyone think of any other type of limited circumstances?
No, the whole issue of closed generics, of course, kicks in at this point.
Yes,
you
and that is a discussion that's currently underway. I don't see anyone else providing, but thank you, Alan, for that feedback. Does anyone else have any commentary on the voluntary, this recommendation for the voluntary picks?
Yeah. It's Alan, one more thing. We may want to add in parentheses that at this point, no such applicant guidebook restrictions have been suggested. So we're saying that as we move forward, we may end up saying you can't move from column X to column Y, but at this point, we have not suggested any.
That's another good idea. All right, I think we are taking these down. Steph, I just want to confirm, are notes being scribed on a separate document or a separate something we can't see?
Hi, Michael. This is Steve from staff. Yeah, there you go. I was waiting for Julie to respond. Thanks.
All right. So, yes. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next recommendation. Okay. Yes, we are recording, that's true. It's going to be fun going back and listening to this at a later time. So, at the time a voluntary pick is made, the applicant must set forth whether such pick is limited in time, duration, and or scope such that the pick can adequately be reviewed by ICANN, an existing objector, if applicable, and or the GAC, the voluntary pick was in response to a GAC early warning or GAC advice. So this is basically giving applicants the opportunity to say whether or not picks are time limited. This was a big, this is a question of debate previously, you know, with, I think some of the applicants originally did put forth picks in response to public concerns and GAC advice, GAC concerns, and they did put in that they were time limited. Excuse me, that they could be taken out at will, or sorry, that they could be, I think the word is withdrawn. If not, please forgive me. But basically, they could say that the picks are no longer applicable. And their sole discretion. Alan, your hand is up. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
It's okay. I just put it up. Number three essentially is what I mentioned when talking about number two, that when you specify a pick, you must specify whether you're committing to this or it's something you can unilaterally change later. And so I hadn't noticed that it was already there. In the last round, only one group of picks were explicitly listed as saying we reserve the right to change them, and they were not picks that were really directly related to GAC advice or early warnings. But it was also not 100% clear to what extent a pick was unchangeable at some point in the future. If the registry were to propose later on that a pick go away, might that have been accepted? We don't know, because I don't think it's actually happened. But clearly, if a pick is suggested in response to GAC advice or GAC something or other, then we don't want it to be able to be changed unilaterally. So I think this is an important clause, and I think it has to stay. or this is an important, important part of the recommendation.
Thank you, Alan. Okay. Greg, I've got you next.
Thanks. It's Greg Chatton for the record. Along the same lines as Alan, I'm concerned about the idea of picks that could just be, could evaporate, especially if the picks are part of the application and become part of the reason explicitly or implicitly that the application was approved, and that other parties did not object to it in some fashion. Because that really opens the door for a bait and switch type of applications. And I think there's a concern, you know, maybe more theoretical than practical, but I think it's practically possible that there would be a bait and switch using voluntary picks that would put certain stakeholders' minds at ease, and then they would just be thrown to the side as soon as the delegation was approved. So I think we need to be very careful with this idea of, you know, being able to withdraw them at discretion. The idea of a commitment that one can withdraw at discretion is hardly a commitment at all. It's kind of a lack of commitment, if you will. So I think it's kind of an oxymoron to have a commitment that one can withdraw at one's discretion. It's not, commitments are relied on. And how can you rely on one that's withdrawn completely at discretion? There should, to Alan's point again, there's no process that we know of, because, you know, this was done late in the game on the fly, not really a part of policy, not even really a part of implementation, but part of implementing GAC advice, which I guess is a form of implementation. So what we need to do, if we are going to take this into a realm of policy and proper implementation, is to figure out whether we do need a process to change a pick, and whether it would be RCEP or whether it would be some other process, whether in possibly involving public comment, possibly there might be a way to, a need to indicate whether a pick, a voluntary pick, is in fact a condition precedent to getting the delegation of that particular string, and therefore is not voluntary. Maybe it's up to ICANN to say which picks are voluntary and which ones aren't, or up to some other body other than the registry to just have the discretion to do that. So I think this is ripe for further development, but also ripe for gamesmanship if we don't do anything about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add?
It's Alan. My hand is up again.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
ICANN has a strong aversion, and for good reasons, to not tinker with people's business plans and business methods. And that shows up, among other things, in the RCEP procedure, which is the only mechanism that's currently there for a registry to request a change to their contract. The only reason an RCEP can be refused is if it affects the stability, security, or resiliency of the Internet. We don't have the grounds to refuse RCEPs, which are purely business details. So clearly, an RCEP is not would be a marvelous vehicle for withdrawing a PIC, because it affects how the people run their business, but doesn't affect the stability of the Internet. So I think we have to be very careful that if they're committing to a PIC, they are committing to it, and if there is a process for changing that later, it must be something that has far wider effect than just impacting the stability of the Internet. So, without using a lot of words, I'm supporting what's there, and we may need to even make it slightly stronger.
Thank you, Alan. You did bring up an interesting question, or an interesting idea in my mind. I don't think I know of a way to change pigs at the current time either, but do we feel that there should be a process in place in order to change pigs, or at least in order to have them reviewed, be changed? Sorry, I'm trying to find the right words to the thoughts that are in my head. But a good point right now that's been brought up is like the RSEP. The RSEP can potentially change the services provided by a registry in a similar fashion. Could we contemplate a mechanism after a registry agreement is signed to change and such the PICs, or to modify the PICs either by ICANN or raised by the applicant, by the registry itself? Can we view that, or can we? Does anyone have any thoughts about such a mechanism? Not that it's in the recommendations here, but
yeah, it's Alan. Sorry, I'm not on my computer right now. I think we certainly could contemplate it. One would have to make it a relatively resilient process. RSEP, for instance, right now, unless you are explicitly monitoring the RSEP pages or other correspondence, you might not even know an RSEP has been proposed, and there's a very, very short window in which anyone can say no to it. Clearly, this would have to be something which is a lot more in the public view than an RSEP.
Yeah,
so whatever it is good. It would have to be a pretty resilient process to make sure that it can be vetted properly. And, you know, conceivably, someone may even want to add public interest commitments, and I don't think we want to, you know, not let that happen if indeed there's a reason for it. Thank you.
That's a good point. I wonder if that wouldn't be, if that would be either subject to the registry agreement, or do we also want to put in a recommendation that may... Sorry, I'm just tinkering in my head as we're going along here to come up with better recommendations. But there's also the aspect of contract negotiations. And in some ways, I think sometimes when the negotiations themselves take behind closed doors, but any possible negotiations, any possible changes to a registry agreement will be put out for public comment. Could we see that the contract negotiations are a way to change PICs, or those are no-go? But sorry.
Michael, why don't we just say that the working group understands we may need a process by which to change PICs, which would, would have to be carefully... a change has to be carefully vetted, and let people suggest any mechanisms. I think it's too late now for us to start building something we haven't talked about at all.
Good point. Sorry, let me just take a little sip of the little water I have left. All right. I agree on that note. I'm going to move on to the next recommendation, which also has to do with the voluntary picks. To the extent that a voluntary PIC is accepted, such PIC must be reflected in the applicant's registry agreement. Changes to that PIC may only be made... May only be made after being subject to comment by the ICANN community. To the extent that the PIC was made in response to an objection, GAC early warning, or GAC advice, any proposed material changes to that PIC must take into account comments made by the applicable objector and or the applicable GAC member that issued the early warning, or in the case of GAC advice, the GAC itself. All right, I think that just...
Clearly, Michael, we haven't done our homework because we keep on reinventing things that the next bullet talks about.
I know. I think changes were made to this while I was asleep last night. I have no idea.
Good changes, though.
Yes, indeed. I like these two. Jeff was up late, wasn't he? So I think that this is reasonable in its nature. But yes, and Cheryl says a process needs to be worthy, seems to be worthy of exploration. All right. Does anyone have any comments on this bulletin? Speak now or comment later on the list. Oh, okay. We have two more bullets left. They are both different topics, so I will split them up. Although the work track has discussed highly sensitive strings and strings corresponding to highly regulated industries, the work track has not agreed upon any additional conditions to impose on applicants other than those already imposed on applicable registries during the 2012 round. Does not seem to be a recommendation. The way I wrote this originally was, let me see if it's how, well, it's showing the comments here. Okay, I'm gonna read to you what in the Google Doc online, what the original words showed. Sorry, what the original words read. Which were the working track has yet to make any determinations on applying criteria on future applications that are interpreted as similar to pre-existing verified TLDs. The work track should further discuss these concerns and their potential merit. So this came out of the some of the comments raised by the verified TLD. I can't remember the exact consortium. I was going to okay. So it's the verified TLD consortium and NABP recommending circumstances under which a registry should be required to operate as a verified TLD. So I think this came up around the comparison of if a string, for example, right now we have a dot doctor dot. No, it's not dot doctor. It's hold on, I can give you the example. Yeah, so for example, a concern was raised regarding validated TLDs like dot pharmacy or dot bank. In the future, applicants might set up a similar type of TLD without the validation requirements. For example, dot chemist, which may cause consumer confusion. Thus, the verified TLD conundrum, consortium and NABP raised points saying that these should be that future TLDs that are similar to previously verified TLDs should have similar picks or similar conditions placed upon them. We have not made any decision at this time, but we want to make sure that in our recommendation saying that we have discussed this, but we have not agreed upon any additional conditions. I think that this is something that will have to be we will need to solicit public comment on, and that's why we're putting it like this in the initial report. If someone has any suggestions or would prefer that this be written in a different format, you are free to speak now.
Michael, it's Alan. I have no problem with how it's worded right now, but I think we need to add something explicitly asking for guidance. The real problem of simply saying that it's similar to dot bank is there are few things that are as regulated as medical doctors, but we also have a dot doctor that is not regulated because they class. You know, the word is used for other things. And you know, bank is used for other things too. You know, there are sperm banks. There are lots of other kinds of banks around that are not necessarily regulated in the same way or by the same people. So the argument falls down. So really, I think what we need to ask is if anyone has suggestions on how do we recognize such a TLD and then identify what kind of specific, you know, rules we might want to associate it, let's ask them. So I think we should ask for suggestions on how to recognize specific classes of TLDs and what kind of restrictions one should put on them, and let's see what the answers come back in.
Sounds like a great idea to me. Does anyone else have any points they'd like to raise on that?
Hey, Michael, this is Steve from staff.
Steve, you've got, it shows you're Steven today, so, okay, Steven, go ahead.
This is Steven from staff. Thanks, Michael. Actually, just to follow on from Alan's point, so while this fifth bullet is captured under possible recommendations, it might make sense once it gets incorporated into the initial report to actually capture the essence of what this bullet is speaking to as more of a question where it's soliciting input rather than a recommendation, because the way it's recommended or the way it's written now, it doesn't actually recommend anything. So it might be, as I said, more appropriate as a specific question where we're seeking input. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I think that's much better, because as it is now, it's not soliciting feedback. It's just, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's just there. And I think formatting it into how you have just raised would be the best option forward. So let's do that. Does anyone else have any feedback in regards to this bullet point? None? Okay, good. Last bullet point, and then I am going to call an end to this meeting. The work track acknowledges the work of the CCTRT on the issue of sensitive strings and will engage in future discussions to provide feedback on recommendation 14. We have this freely available right now, recommendation 14. Just so that we might look at it and share with the group here what that says. I think I might have it. Recommendation. Okay, I've got it right here. ICANN should perform a study on highly regulated new GTLDs to include the following elements. A, steps for registry operators are taking to establish working relations with relevant government or industry bodies. B, the volume of complaints received by registrants from government and regulatory bodies and their standard practices to respond to those complaints. C, review and assess a sample of domain websites with the highly regulated sector category to see whether contact information to file complaints is sufficiently easy to find. D, determine the volume and the subject matter of complaints regarding domains in the highly regulated industries by seeking more detailed information from ICANN contractual compliance and registrars, resellers of highly regulated domains. E, compare rates of abuse between those highly regulated GTLDs, oh, I think my voice is coming back, that have voluntarily agreed to verify and validate credentials to those highly regulated GTLDs that have not. And E, assess whether restrictions regarding possessing necessary credentials are being enforced by auditing registrars and resellers offering the highly regulated TLDs. For example, can an individual or entity without the proper credentials buy a highly regulated domain? The extent that such current ICANN data collection initiatives and compliance audits can contribute to these efforts, we recommend that ICANN assess the most efficient way to proceed to avoid duplication of effort in leveraging current work. So we do need to provide feedback to the CCTRT on this, and we externally, staff and leadership, are putting together a response to this. Oh, yes. this last, sorry, Steve, your comment is this last bullet might make sense as an element of deliberations and or outside input to the working group. Yes, that's logical. But just noting here, does anyone have any feedback in regards to that recommendation 14 that I've just read out? I know we don't have a link to it here, but since we're on the topic, anyone having input is free to voice it now. Hearing none, then I know that we have 11 minutes left, but if no one has any other business, I'm going to adjourn this meeting because due to lack of my voice.
Next meeting, Cheryl here. Next meeting, Michael, just to get it on the record, darling.
I have no idea at this point, Cheryl. I think we need to relook at our
schedule. I'm sure Steve or someone will leap in with the information.
Yeah, we'll need to revisit our schedule and our plans for the next few weeks. But I do want to make sure that we finish this one global public interest before we move along. In the meantime, staff is working on the input on the initial report. And Emily, so that's what I thought. The next meeting is not yet scheduled. We will reconvene as leadership and let everyone know. For now, just thank you for staying with us for these past 2 years. And give yourself a nice pat on the back as saying that you've come a long way with WorkTrack 2. I think we're almost done, but I could be wrong as well. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Michael. And we're ending early because of our efficiency and how we've done it, not because of lack of anything.
Well said. And I suppose we should also, Cheryl, here for the record, we should also note that the lack of Steve's voice in today, especially to save Michael's, and I'm going to rest his voice for the rest of the day, was because she was sorely challenged with some issues getting into WebEx. But Emily has done a huge amount of work behind the scenes, and a lot of learning has been done. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Thank you, everyone. Meeting has been adjourned.